it's like today I'm going to talk about marriage again. Marriage identity is the title of my message today. And I know, you know, there's plenty of single people here today. I wish sometimes we could just do a drawing and match you up, and that would be... All the single people are going, no. I just think it'd be kind of fun. You know, because, man, I go to these other countries, and they arrange the marriage. And I was in Pakistan one time, and they said, hey, do you want to go with us? We're starting a you know, courtship or whatever for a marriage. And I'm like, do they get to choose? No, we choose. I'm like, really? Yeah, the parents have chosen a guy for their daughter, and so... You know, we're going to go and meet with their families and talk about terms and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I'd like to sit in on that. It's pretty crazy. I know we're so far from that in America, but it's pretty funny to me when you're out in these. It's funny to me, too. I laugh at them. I laugh with them, I guess. I don't know, because it's crazy that, you know, Priscilla, you're going to marry and... And they put the guy there, and mom and dad make a contract, you know, and they bring a dowry, and wow, there you go, and you're married. Isn't that how it worked in the Bible? Isn't that biblical? Come on, Abe, it's biblical, man. You can just, you know, get a couple of cows for your daughter, you know. Because that's how it works over there. It's just kind of... It's amazing. I just watched one guy, a young man that I know in Pakistan, just got engaged, and the engagement is just, it's incredible. So stand with me today. We're going to read his marriage identity, Matthew chapter 19, 4 through 6, and we'll read that together here. Beginning at verse 4, and it's out of the Message Bible. It says, he answered, haven't you read in your Bible that the Creator originally made man and woman for each other? Male and female. And because of this, a man leaves his father and mother and is firmly bonded to his wife, becoming one flesh, no longer two bodies, but one. Because God created this organic union of the two sexes, no one should desecrate his art by cutting them apart. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you today and we talk on marriage, Lord, you've designed marriage as our relationship should be with you. So, Father, I pray that whether we're married or single today, that, Lord, that today we would work on our relationship with you, that we'd come closer and closer to you, that we would experience your presence more and more. Lord, our identity would be in Christ Jesus, that we're projecting the image of God here on this earth. So, Father, I pray that our hearts would be open wide today. We'd not be shut off from hearing, Lord, but we'd have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Since we're created in the image of God, know that we need to let our identity be in Christ and not just ourselves. Amen? It needs to be in Christ. He created us in his image, and he designed marriage in the image of what he wants our relationship to be like with him. So marriage is to mirror our relationship with Jesus. So just don't say anything. I don't want you to blurt out. If you want to make an appointment, that's fine. But how's your marriage? Because is your marriage reflecting your relationship with God? Said, don't answer me. Just let it sink in. The image is that the husband and the wife be one, just as we're to be one with the Father. Amen? Just as we're to be one with God the Father. Jesus said, I pray that they would be one just as you and me are one, God. So, in our oneness with each other, between Delon and I, we should also be one with God the Father. Amen? And so, a lot of times in life, the way this goes is the way this goes. And the way this goes is determines this how this goes. So if this is going great and I'm getting this down, then chances are this is going to go good too. Because when this is going great, I'm concerned, you know, about everything God's concerned for. I take on his identity. So that's what I'm reflecting to my wife. So he loves me unconditionally. So when I learn to receive that, I can pour that out. But if I work on this first instead of this, I'm not going to get there. I got to do it this way to do this way. I used to tell Delonda, as I said before, I'm praying for God to help me to love you the way you need to be loved. And she didn't understand that for a while because she used to think, am I so bad that it's hard to love me? And it's no, it's just that I want to love you with the capacity of God and not Ron. Because Ron in himself is evil. Ron by himself without God is no good. But Ron filled with God can do a lot better than Ron on his own. Amen? So Ron with God can love. Ron with God can do more than he ever thought imaginable in his marriage relationship. You see, I've been praying real hard on this because I believe God is just in turmoil with us, with the church. Because there's been such adultery committed in the church between us and God that we've adulterated ourselves to the world and we haven't been doing what God wants. And I believe God is uptight about that right now. As I've been praying, I just sense God's hurt by the marriage that we've been projecting to him, that we haven't been projecting a marriage that's godly. We haven't been projecting a marriage that's in the identity of Christ in us, that we're not putting on the image of God in our relationships, this way or this way. See, because when I'm not doing it this way, when I can't be nice to Delonda, when I can't love her, when I can't be all that she needs me to be, when I can't love her the way that Christ loved the church, I believe God is getting upset with the amount of divorce that's in the church. Now, if you've been divorced before, it's under the blood. God bless you. Let's not do it again. Let's move forward. Let's get it down right to where we're not offending God. We're pushing away the Holy Spirit. Let's learn to be married, amen? Let's learn to be married this way. Let's learn to be married this way. See, God created marriage in the image of what our relationship should be like with him. And if we're not doing this right, am I doing this right? If I can't die to myself this way, am I dying to myself this way? See, God wants to perfect our marriages. God wants to perfect our relationship with him. You know, the thing with the Israelites is they saw signs, wonders, and miracles all the time. I mean, when they walked in the wilderness, oh my gosh, God rained down food to them every day. Eric, they never had to work for food. They just had to gather it every day. That was their work. That's all they had to do, gather the food. Oh, we don't have any water. Well, hit the rock, and out comes a river of water. God took care of them. And still, out of all those miracles, they committed adultery against God. God said, I got this land flowing with milk and honey for you. And I believe that God's got some major blessings coming your way. But the Israelites didn't get it. Because they saw, well, there's giants. There's obstacles. Well, that's why God gives you dynamite. To blow up those obstacles in the spirit. That's why God calls you to prayer, to break those up. Dean just gave me a great word about India, what he saw happening. Angels being dispatched because we prayed today. That God is doing something in India because we humbled ourselves and we prayed for them today. And that's what needs to happen. We need to continually humble ourselves and pray. Pray for your marriage. Pray for your relationships, amen. Pray that God gives you wisdom in your relationship. Pray that God stir your heart for your partner, amen. You know, when I first got married, I did not understand women at all. Not that I got it figured out, okay. But I think I got her figured out. 37 years. I'm doing good about figuring out who Delonda is. She asked me, she goes, well, if you understand me so much, tell me who I am. And I rattled it off. And she's like, well, that's pretty close. Because I know her. I see her. I watch her. I observe her. I'm with her. And so I know what Delonda's about. I know what she's like. You know, actually, Delonda's a very shy person. Don't tell on you. Okay. Her eyes went... She is shy. and more of an introvert than an extrovert. So to ask her to do extroverted things, like get up here and preach, she's got to step into God because it's not who she is. See, and that's what I believe God is calling us to. God wants our identity to be so deep in Him that we're not afraid to do what He's called us to do. Amen? So that we can step into, you know, whether it be marriage or it be sharing the gospel with somebody, that our identity is so in Christ that we're not worried about what people think. That we identify with Christ and I walk in this life so that I project the image of Christ. Amen? That's what we're to do. So, and there are specifics for marriage that we should walk in. You know, Delonda doesn't give 50% and I give 50%. We both have to give 100% in marriage, amen? We both have to go all in with marriage in order to make it work. It takes us both trying. It takes us both dying, amen? It takes us both sacrificing. You know, listen, if you're not willing to sacrifice and you're not married and you're not willing to sacrifice when you get married, don't get married. Save yourself. You laughing over there? But Ephesians 5:21, it tells us this. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another. Look at your neighbor and say, submit. It's not a dirty word. Okay? It's not a dirty word. Everybody say it. Submit. It's not a dirty word, okay? Listen, if you're single and you're saying, well, there's no way I'm going to submit to a man, then don't desire to get married, okay? Because if you can't come in and come under a husband, don't get married because you're just going to mess things up. As in your life. Because, this is God's way of doing it, not Ron King's way. I didn't say, hey, Delonda, you need to submit to me and get married. I remember I did one wedding, and she's like, man, please don't say that during the wedding. And I'm like, okay. You know, but when we make our wedding vow, I always like Mario and Maggie, they just got married. I'm going to keep picking on you, Mario, until, you know, that wedding gets out of my head, you know. But Mario and Maggie, you know, they're like, we want to write our vows. I said, okay, why don't we do this? Why don't you say the vows I got? And then you can say your vow next. Because the vow I got, you know, is pretty committed. You know, you see, how does it go? I can't even think of the vows right now. I've done it so many times. For better, for worse, richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, you know, till death. Everybody say death. That's the end. You don't part until death. You stick with it, amen? So if you don't want to get into a relationship knowing that you're not going to identify with Christ in it. Because to identify with Christ means you're going to do things Christ's way. But he tells us, listen, he says submit to one another. That I'm to submit to Delonda, she's to submit to me. But what he does there in Ephesians is Paul takes it deep into the marriage because he wants to relate it to our relationship with Jesus. He wants to show you how this relates to this. And so he goes on and he says, in verse 22, he says, wives. Now listen, in the original Greek, it's not there that it says submit to your husband. They put that in there because that's what it means. It said, if I read it without submit, because in the first verse it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, to your own husband as you do to the Lord. That's without the submit. But if I read verse 22 with submit, it's the same thing. Wives, submit to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. So for the head of the husband is, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in just a few things. But isn't that what we want to say? Isn't that what we do? I'll submit to you, but there's a limit to what I'll do. Am I off base? Women are going, no, you're not off base. Okay, so I'm right on. Okay, but we're to submit to their husbands in everybody, every lady say it.
Everything.
I said every lady, Rob. He created us male and female. You go, brother. In everything, we're to submit to God with. And then verse 25. See, women, you got it easy. You have it easy. You say, oh, it's not that easy. Look at what a man is. Husbands, love your wives. Look at your wife and say, I love you. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for. That's how that men are called to love their wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her. Listen, if your wife ain't holy, that's your problem. That's on you. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church. You see what's happening here? He's intermingling marriage this way with marriage this way. Present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. This is what God, this is the kind of love I have to have for you, honey. Hallelujah. Next, in the same way, everybody say in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So after all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of this body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. See, the gospel is a mystery. The gospel is a mystery, and Paul's unpacking the gospel right before us right now. He said, but I'm talking about Christ in the church. He's not talking about just husband and wife. Christ in the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. See, this is so powerful in the sense that the relationship that I have, that I'm building with my wife, I need to be building with God too. It's the two are working together. If I'm not doing this right, chances are I'm not doing good this way either. Because when I'm doing good this way, I'm just sailing. Because when I really love my wife, because that's what's been my prayer. I want to love her the way that Jesus loves me. But let me start with the submit thing first. It's listed first. This is number one. In the way a wife submits to God, come under the covering of your husband. It's number one. Okay? So, how do you come under God? Trust God. How many of you wives trust God? How many of you women trust God? You trust God. Okay. How many of you praise God? Praise your husband. Praise him. Encourage him. Build him up. Amen. Tell him good things about him. Amen. Tell me something good. Used to be a song like that. Tell me something good. Y'all know too much of that worldly stuff. Praise your man. Amen. Tell him something good. Encourage him. Men need that. And then honor your husband the way you would honor God. How do we honor God? We give to him. We give to the Lord. Give to your husband, amen? Give to your husband. That's letter D. Give to your husband. And he is support your husband. You know, I can say that about Delonda. She supports me very much. It's going to remind you about the Dodgers, too. She supports me in ministry. As we've grown up, you know, she supported me when I said yes to being youth pastor. And I think I told you last week, I took a $1,600 a month cut in pay to be youth pastor here. Because I knew God told me to do it. She said, okay, we'll do it. when I felt God telling me to move to China, she said, okay, I'll do it. And it was hard for her, but she did it anyways. And we had a great time. But every time that God is challenging me, like I called her one day on my cell phone. I called her. I said, hey, honey, I'm on my way. I'm quitting my job. I'm starting my own business. I'll tell you about it later. She's like, it's about time. That's the kind of support she gives me. She doesn't say, oh, honey, what are we going to do? What if you don't make it? What if things don't work out very well? What are we going to do? How will we survive? She didn't do any of that. She just said, it's about time. She supports me. And her support for me enables me to do everything God's called me to do. You say, well, what about what God's called her to do? I support her to do that too. And she comes under me so that we're doing what God's called us to do together, amen? And that's what we want to do as a married couple. And that's part of coming in. So all things you submit to God, all things that you do for God, do for your husband. That was a good chance for you women to say amen, or men, or somebody, you know? Listen, but submission doesn't mean you're a doormat. Amen? Submission doesn't make you a doormat. It makes you a woman of God. It makes you a woman that is following the biblical steps for marriage. Now, Paul said this. He said, I can't tell you exactly where it's at off the top of my head, but he said, hey, listen, you know, it's okay if you don't get married, because you can do what God's calling you to do without any interference from anybody else. So if you just want to follow what God wants you to do, see, I'm just thankful that God gave me a woman that will go where I go. You know, he says, go here, she'll go with me. You know, but if God said, go here, and she said, no, I'm not going, then I've got to stay. So God said, it's better to get married so you can do what God calls you to do, and you don't have to worry about what other people are telling you. You don't have to worry about that. But to find a good wife is a good thing. Amen? To find a good wife is a good thing. Number two, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. First thing I want to point out is you have to love yourself. When I went to Bible school, he gave us an order that we should have in our lives. Number one, the order of the level of relationships that they should be in. Number one is a relationship with God. That should be our number one relationship. Our relationship with the Father. We need to have that relationship active and working in our lives. That needs to take priority. And number two is I need to love myself. I need to be happy with Ron King. You need to be happy with Holly Browning. You need to be happy with Rob Salter. You need to be happy with Mike Rodriguez. I always mess up his name. You need to be happy with you. You need to love you, because if you don't love you, you can't love others effectively. Because if you hate yourself, how can you love anybody? You have to love yourself, amen? You need to look in the mirror and say, I love you. Just look at your hand and say it, I love you. Wow, Jesse, yeah. Jesse got it down. I love you, amen. You got to love yourself. So that's number two. Number three, you need to love your spouse. Amen. You got to love your spouse. Number four, your kids. What happens a lot of times, I'm going to talk a little bit about this next week, is we put our kids in front of our mate. That's out of balance. That's backwards. If you're letting your kids sleep with you, you're going to get out of balance in a hurry. So one's God, two's love myself, three's love my wife, four's love my kids, and then five is my ministry. I can't put my ministry above my wife. I have to love my wife unconditionally. You have to love your wives unconditionally, or you have to love your husbands unconditionally. Amen. So the ministry is number four, and then extended family, five, friends, six. Your friends shouldn't get in front of your wife. Amen. Extended family shouldn't get in front of your ministry. Man, I remember when Delon and I, man, when we just came back to the Lord, we've been on fire for Jesus ever since. We just haven't let up. But it's amazing how mad family members will get at you when you don't go to their family functions on Sunday. I was talking with a pastor this week. He goes, "Ron, I almost lost it this week." I said, "What happened?" He said, "One of our pastor's adult kids went around the church and invited people to their five-year-old kid's birthday party on Sunday at 11 during church." He goes, "I almost lost it." He said, "I didn't." He says, "But, you know," and that's the thing. We have to be able to make this a priority, amen? So you got to, what was number one there? Love yourself. And then, listen, you got to love unconditionally. How many of you think you love unconditionally? Pretty good. You know, Delonda always tells me, and you always hear it, hate the sin but love the sinner. As a church, we stink at that. The church in whole. Because we look at the sinner and we walk the other way. We're like, "Yeah, I'm not. Please don't come talk to me. Please don't come talk to me." We're not real good at that. And we justify it too. And then, the way Jesus loved the church, he was peaceful. He was peace. I mean, he got a little rowdy sometimes, but he was peace. Amen. He chastisement for our peace was upon him. And then, Jesus was very encouraging, but he was very encouraging to the disciples to go and to do. He encouraged them to step out of the boat. He encouraged them to heal the sick, raise the dead. But he also wasn't afraid to say, "You're not walking in faith right now. You're not walking the way that I've been telling you to. You, matter of fact, you've gone so far to the left in that statement that you're acting like the devil right now." Because what did he say to Peter? Peter says, "No way, man, you're not going to die. They're not going to do that to you." And he goes, "You don't know what spirit you are. Get behind me, Satan." Or when the guys, James and John, said, "Hey, they won't receive you in this village. You want us to call down fire from heaven and blow them up?" And Jesus said, "You don't know what spirit you're of right now." See, so he was very encouraging, but he was also very corrective to tell people, "Listen, you got it wrong." But you tell people they got it wrong today, and they're like, "There's another church up the street that'll tell me I'm okay." And then, out of love, Jesus would prophesy. Listen, I love John Harkey. I love when he comes in and he prophesies to people. But listen, you should be doing that yourself. A prophet should come and just confirm what God's already been telling you. He shouldn't be having to come and tell you things that are new. He should come and just encourage you in what God has already said. Because at home, you're prophesying to each other, amen? That you're speaking life into each other, that you're building each other at home. You're bringing that encouragement and that comfort at home, amen? You should serve. Jesus came to serve. So as a husband, we need to serve our wives, amen? That's so weak. Come on, man. We should serve our wives. Melinda's going to put me to the task now. Oh, all right, here's a good one. We should die for them. When I was in one country, and I know these pastors would die for Jesus. They would lay down their life for the sake of the cross. I mean, I've even told you about the guy who took a beating for me and was so excited that he didn't give me up to the police that he was soaring. Even though he said, "They hit me, they kicked me, I not give you up." He was so excited. But ask them to die for their wife? No. Because You know, they're thinking, well, if I died for my wife, then I can't do what God's called me to do. And God has called you to do what? Die for your wife. She's the priority over my ministry. Amen. If she said, Ron, I can't do this anymore, I think we need to stop, I'd have to resign. Because I'm not going to be disjointed at the top. We'd have a long talk if she ever said that, though, just so you know. I'd have to give her a lot of prophecy, a lot of encouragement, you know. and as Jesus came teaching. And we need to teach, because that scripture was so powerful, because it says, that we're to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of the word. Verse 26. So I need to be able to teach my wife. Amen. I need to be able to teach her in the things of God through the word, what God is revealing to me. But I also need to submit to my wife, and I need to take in what God is telling her. Amen. And then, you know, Jesus prayed for us. I need to pray for my wife. I need to be there to pray for my wife and encourage her and build her up in prayer. Amen. The way we prayed for India. And then I need to walk in the fruit of the Spirit with my wife. I mean, that's what Jesus did. Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. I need to walk in that with my wife. I shouldn't just reserve that for work. See, a lot of times we do really good at work because that's where we get paid. And at work, you hold your tongue because you don't want to get fired. You don't want anything to happen to you. But when you get home, we feel like, bleh, not good. So we need to learn to hold it, amen, at home. So the correlation is to how Jesus loves the church and gave himself for it. And that is how he's calling us to love our wives, man. See, I told you women got it easy. Us men, we really got to step up our game. Now, he's telling us all these things, as I said last week, because in the garden, Eve did her own thing. She was told not to do it, and she did it anyways. She was told by her husband, because God gave the command to the husband and the man, and he told his wife, and she did it anyways. So, God, in his infinite wisdom, is turning back the curse. Amen? So that we don't walk in the curse of what happened in the garden. We don't live a life of sin. We live a life in the Spirit. Amen? And that's what God wants. He wants our identity in Christ so that we're reflecting his image. The mystery of the gospel is found in marriage. We're referred to as the bride of Christ. Amen? And he's the groom. We put to death our flesh and let Christ arise in us, so that people see the image of Christ as we take on his identity. That's the idea. People need to see the identity of Christ. Marriage, it's us being about God together. Dawn and I being about God together. And that takes us, and as we're doing that, it takes us into number three, which is preferring others above ourselves. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. We do this with God when we put his will first. Okay? So remember, you know, we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's part of the prayer, you know, that he told us to pray. So this comes down to one of the main keys, I think, is pertinent for marriage. Ready? I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. And for those of you that aren't married yet, take it in right now. Stop being selfish. We are a very selfish society, and we want our own way. Stop being selfish. Prefer others above yourself. Jesus wasn't selfish, and he preferred others above himself. And can we do that for each other? It's challenging because someone's got to die. Usually our flesh. And then lastly, don't get weary in doing good. Who's been married here the longest? Al? How many years? 58. So I'm going to turn and I'm going to talk to you, Al. Don't get tired of doing good. Don't get tired of trying. You know, because you think that, you know, I've been married almost 37 years, and you think, okay, we should have this down by now, but we don't. We still have to fight against the selfishness. We still have to stretch ourselves in love, and we need to not get weary in trying. It's because when we get weary, people start dividing and going their own way, and we can't stop trying, amen? We have to always try. We have to always make the effort. Don't give up. I'm still learning to understand Delonda, everything I can about her. I want to know her. She thinks I don't know anything, but when I rattled it off the other day, I was pretty close. I won't rattle it off today, honey, because I love you, and I know that would embarrass you, and I understand you. But I started looking at how she talks, the way she thinks, the way she responds to things, the way she reacts to different things. And the thing is that we are so different. We are so different, but yet we're so alike. But in our differences, I've had to see, like, if you stop by today, I'd be like, hey, come on in. She'd run up, she'd wait, don't you dare open that door until I get upstairs. That would be her. Because she's going to run, because she's got to make sure that she's presentable. And then she'd say, don't open that door, let me finish the dishes. Because, you know, she wants everything clean. She does not leave the house with dishes in the sink. You know, everything's got to be wiped up. You know, the pillow's got to be right on the couch before she leaves the house, just in case you do stop by. Not, oh yeah, I know, I'm not telling anybody your things. I know. Here's the funny. But we're so different. I'm like, hey, come on in. Let's make some food. Let's do something. And she's like, So see, we're just different, but I've had to get to understand our differences in our marriage so that I can better minister to her, so that I can reveal my love for her. So there's certain things that I won't do. Like I'll say, hey, let's meet at Starbucks and have a coffee instead of come over to my house, let's have coffee. She'd be like, not that you're not ever invited over, just call her and invite yourself and she'll say yes and she'll set a time. But yeah, I wrote this thing, and I want to read it the way I wrote it. We are different, and I need to know what makes her tick so I don't set off the bomb. Amen? Because we all have our buttons. And in the years, I know what Delonda's buttons are. She knows what my buttons are. So what we're trying to do in our life is not push each other's buttons. See, but when I get tired, Pastor Jesse, sometimes I say stupid things I know I shouldn't say. But I'm tired, I'm frustrated or something, you know, and I'm saying, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh boy, shouldn't have said that. I'm telling myself now. That's why we need to not get weary. Even though you've been married a while, you still got to make an effort. You still got to bring her flowers. You still got to make him that steak once in a while, even though it's not good for him. Delonda hates onions and mushrooms. But she'll fry them up for me and put them on a steak, even though she doesn't like them. We got to understand why we're different so that we can love each other completely, amen? But when I get tired of trying is when things go bad. We need to always try. Don't get tired of doing the right thing in your marriage. Don't get tired of doing the right thing in life. Make the effort to do what is good and what is right. Because God's watching. God is watching. He sees everything. Listen, every word you say is recorded. I heard that, Al. I said, uh-oh. Every word is recorded in heaven. So I'm working on, you know, saying the right thing. Amen. I don't always want to just open my mouth and talk. I need to think things through sometimes, or all the time. Don't get tired of doing the right thing, especially in your marriage. Is it challenging? Absolutely. Anybody here ever get tired? But we got to keep going. Amen. I'm sure that Jesus gets tired of our junk too. But he still has the patience with us to get through it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, and I pray that, Lord, not only in marriage but in our lives, we would put on the identity of Christ. That, Lord, that we'd learn to just trust you, we'd learn to love you, we'd learn to be the bride of Christ. Lord, and even as the bridegroom, 10 virgins went out, Lord, and five of them just weren't ready, Lord. I pray that we would all be ready to be the bride of Christ. And Lord, that we not shrink back away from it, but Lord, we'd really make ourselves ready. And maybe you're here today and you say, hey, I really need to shore up some things in my marriage. I need to be a little bit better about these things. If that's you today, just raise your hand, because I want to pray for you. Amen, 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 amen. How about you single people? You say, you know what? Some of them things you talked about, I need to get better at doing right now as God's preparing me. Amen, amen, amen. All right, amen. See, I think we all can stretch ourselves a little bit. I'd like to do this today. If I could get all the married couples to come to the front, I want to pray over you today. And I know maybe some of your spouse isn't here today, but that's okay. You can come too, because we'll pray over you. And then I'd like all the single people to come up behind them too, please. We need your covering. So everybody come. And then we'll take communion together. But I want to pray over it, because I know life is challenging. But God is good, amen? Amen. Bob and Lillian, why don't you just come forward, and we're just going to lay hands on you two. Praise you, Father God. Lord, as we lay hands on Bob and Lillian today, Lord, we pray a blessing over them, God. Yeah. And as we bless them, Father God, Lord, they're just standing in proxy for every person here today. Lord, we pray for the blessing of the Lord to be upon their marriage, Father God. That, Lord, that all the vows that they made back when they got married, Father God, that I even see being lived out in their lives today, God. Lord, in all the families here today, in all the families today, Lord, we know we're not perfect. Lord, we know we all need some work. But Lord, I pray that we never give up. We never stop trying. We never get tired of doing what's good and what's right. But Lord, that your blessing be upon every person here today, God. That Lord, that you'd bless this couple right here, and you bless every couple here, every single person in this house today, God. That the blessing of the Lord, which makes one rich and adds no sorrow to it, would come upon every person in this house today. That, Father, that you bless them indeed in the name of Jesus. Lord, let that hand of blessing come upon every married couple right now. Lord, that the wife would come under, just fittingly under that arm, Lord, and that the husband would love that wife like never before. Lord, there'd be such loving kind in our marriages, God. That, Lord, you'd do single people, Father God. Lord, those that desire to be married, Father God, that you bless them, Lord, with the right person, the right lady, the right man, God. Do a supernatural work there, God. Bless them indeed. Let the blessing of the Lord be upon the people today. Father, I pray that the men would really, really, really love today, God. Lord, that we wouldn't just let it be idle words, but we'd let it be who we are and what we do. Lord, that we would really love our wives. Lord, I pray for every single woman that they would find a man that's really going to love them. Lord, a man that's in your presence. Lord, that's really going to love them like never before. Father God, that they'll be, you know, even as we say in the marriage ceremony, that they'll be loved and cared for as long as God grants them life. And Father, I pray that over every married couple today, that they'd be loved and cared for as a couple as long as God grants them life. And Father, that your blessing just bless, 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 bless. We bless you today, Father God, and we thank you for the loving kindness, Lord, and the opportunities you're giving us to get it right today, God. We give you praise today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand today. Hallelujah. Now, don't go away, because we're going to have communion right now. So if the communion servers would just come, just stay here, and you can get the elements, and then we're gonna take it all together in a few minutes. You don't have to let Scott and Vicky come through. Come on up, go over. Get the elements and we'll take it all together in a few minutes. If you're born again, you're qualified to take it, amen? You believe in Jesus as Lord? Man, what an exciting moment. We get to partake of the things of God today. So, be served. You and we thank you for today. Thank you for your promises that are yes and amen to us. Praise you, Jesus. Mighty Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Exalt you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Right behind you, hear this. Thank you, Jesus. You know, this is a time to partake and remember what he's done. So I don't think of it as just eating a cracker and drinking some juice. We're partaking of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. So therefore, as we're partaking of it, we get to partake of everything that it means. That we are forgiven of our sins. Amen. That we are totally forgiven of our sins. And today during this prayer for the service, I just really felt impressed, even in marriage, that we forgive one another. That today you just let that thing go that's been bugging you. That you surrender it to Jesus today. So Jesus, we just surrender those things, Lord, that we've held on to that have been hard to forgive, Lord. We choose to let it go and forgive today. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, that as we take this bread and we drink this cup, we partake in the forgiveness of our sins, and we forgive others as you have forgiven us. And today, Lord, that we would also partake in the healing that you provided for us. The healing power of God that would come and would touch every person today in the name of Jesus. That we would receive that healing into our lives that you've already provided for us. That we not wait, God, it put off. But Lord, we'd open our hearts and receive that healing today in the name of Jesus. A healing would be our portion today, God. Forgiveness and healing just flowing in this house. By your stripes, we are healed. And we receive that in Jesus' name. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you." The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. Just break that little bread. And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Take it. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he supped, saying, "This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink and eat this bread, drink from this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come again." Take the cup. So, Father, we receive today all that is represented here by your word. We receive that forgiveness and that healing. And Lord, we declare today, Lord, that we will remember you and we will not get weary in doing good. But Lord, we will stay the course until you come. Lord, that we'll do all that you've put into our spirit and our hands to do, God, until you come. We'll remember what you've done till you come and we go with you, Lord. Lord, we will strive after you. We will go after you until you come. Lord, that we not get weary. Lord, in the same way, help us in our marriages to not get tired of doing what is good and what is right. Help people in their singleness today, God, to not get tired of doing what is good and what is right. Lord, as a body of believers, as the bride of Christ, we do not want to get weary in this. But Lord, we want to maintain that love and that passion for you that we got the day we were born again. So, Father, I pray a blessing over every person here today as they go. Cover, protect, and keep them, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand, huh? Hallelujah. Look at that. Let you out a few minutes early today. Stick around. Have a cup of coffee or water and sign up for the tea. Get that completed today.